The UN says that humanity stands on the brink of catastrophic man-made climate change. But is it true?
Not a chance. But we do stand on the brink of catastrophic government policies that threaten to ruin the nation our forefathers built and defended against tyranny.
So what drives the climate scare, Jay?
Besides simple ignorance, the scare is driven by corporate greed and the desire of government to control all aspects of our lives, Tom.
Is this part of something more sinister?
Indeed it is. Whether it's climate change or a pandemic or socialism, it really means sacrificing your rights and accepting the tyranny of the fourth branch of government, the bureaucracy. It must be stopped.
This is The Other Side of the Story with Dr. Jay Lair and Tom Harris of the International Climate Science Coalition.
Our guest today is Andy Caldwell, Executive Director of CoLab Santa Barbara County in California. CoLab is the coalition of labor, agriculture, and business, which acts as both a government watchdog and promoter of these sectors in Santa Barbara. A link to his monthly newsletter, CoLab Magazine, will appear on the America Out Loud website when this show goes to podcast on Monday. Andy's daily radio talk show airs from 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific time on AM 1240 KSMA in Santa Maria, on AM 1290 in Santa Barbara, and FM 98.5 in San Luis Obispo. The Andy Caldwell Show is the only local talk radio show to cover the entire California Central Coast. Dr. Lair and I have both been proud to appear as guests on the show. As a strong conservative in a very liberal county, Andy came close to winning the district seat in the U.S. House of Representatives in the 2020 election. In Andy's CoLab magazine, he outlines the growing problems of his once wealthy and beautiful state. We'll be discussing that today. So, welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you both.
It's particularly exciting to me because my daughter is a TV reporter and weekend anchor in Santa Barbara and knows Andy very well. And while she is an extremely liberal journalist, she has nothing but the greatest respect for Andy. And so it's been pleasing to me to have the opportunity to talk with Andy from time to time in her backyard. And she gets to hear me a little bit. And of course, I get to watch a lot of her television shows. But it's I feel that I have roots there, two daughters, actually, Tracy Lair in the Santa Barbara area, and my daughter Leslie is up in Santa Monica. They are both very liberal. They have incredibly liberal husbands. It's not much I can do to help bring them to a more balance and a little conservatism, but at least they do consult me on science matters, so that is a good thing. But having Andy with us today is really thrilling, and we're exciting to learn so much more about life in a liberal bastion that we used to call the Golden State. It was, I heard, the fifth largest economy in the world. I want to ask about whether that is still true. People flowed into California for decades. My understanding now is they're leaving. Everything going on there appears to be crazy, negative. Tom and I hope to learn more about the why and wherefore of that in this hour. But let me just open with, what is it like being a strong conservative living in a state in constant decline as a result of creeping, if not galloping, Marxism?
Well, we all know the book. It's a short story, really, The Emperor's New Clothes, which was The Emperor Has No Clothes. The way I liken it is there are so many people walking around butt naked in the state of California that I took an old song from the 1940s that my life's mission is being a bumblebee in a nudist colony because these people are all speaking the same groupthink group speak while they are walking around ideologically naked, pretending about something that's just not true. it's not real and it's not the facts of the matter. And the group speak, group think dynamic out here is appalling and overwhelming.
Being a strong conservative, though, how does that affect you? I mean, are you finding yourself in the minority, to say the least, or are there others around like you?
Well, I work for a coalition, a business coalition of labor, agriculture, and business that we started 30 years ago. We are definitely the minority. We're the heritage families, heritage businesses, the little bit of manufacturing and industry that's left, and agriculture, which a lot of people don't know this, but the entire Central Valley of California is the breadbasket of the United States. We are the Central Coast, and we're supplying a lot of the vegetables and most all of the strawberries. So we're a rural area of the state, which is, of course, the most populous state in the country. But again, Santa Barbara County is a microcosm of the state, because the South County, which is where Santa Barbara City is entirely urbanized, with a few pockets left of ag, whereas the North County is rural, with ag being the mainstay of its economy. So the North County is more conservative. The South County is notoriously woke and liberal. And we are outgunned in many, many ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, many of us, especially in the colder parts of North America, where Jay and I are from, we think of California, we imagine a land of milk and honey, endless beaches and surfer guys, super science and technology, first-class professional sports and music, and of course, Hollywood. I mean, that was certainly the case when the Beach Boys and the Mamas and the Papas sang about California half a century ago. But I understand things are not so rosy now, Andy. I mean, how has this picture changed?
Well, it's changed because the Democrats, the progressive, woke Democrats, have had total and complete control of the state as a whole. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the only Republican governor in recent memory, but he was extremely liberal. He was a rhino. So they've locked, they control not just a majority, but a supermajority in both our state assembly and our state Senate. And invariably, they have all of the statewide offices under their control and all of the major cities, lock, stock, and barrel. So there is no two-party system in California. If you want to know what it would look like with one-party rule, you could see how they're ruining what was once the greatest state in the union, in my opinion. We had the best schools, the best roads. We had ag, we had oil, we had high tech, we had manufacturing, we had aerospace, we had all of these things. And the bottom line is the people that can move are moving out. The companies that can move are moving out, because we also have the highest taxes, the highest regulations. We're rated consistently as the top judicial hellhole in the country for business. What does that mean? Businesses here are already always getting sued, and or they have to prepare for being sued, and or they're being regulated to death. It is not a pleasant thing to try to run a business in the state of California with the taxes, the regulations, the mandates, the lawsuits, and the like. And so the people, you know, the people that are tied to the land, many of them are still here. The people that have legacy businesses are still here. But you don't see a lot of new businesses popping up because they can't afford the labor cost, workers' compensation cost, the regulatory cost, and the taxes.
Yeah. Let me ask you a multi-front question. We know that California was once the fifth largest economy in the world. We know people were moving in, going to the Golden State. Things have appeared to reverse themselves. I understand more people leave than come, more businesses leave than come. All services are declining. What is your view of where this state is going to be at the end of this coming decade?
Well, it's hard to say, because what people don't understand is the Bay Area and Silicon Valley is a virtual ideological financial island. So up there, they've got literally tens of thousands of millionaires and probably a couple hundred billionaires all living within a few zip codes. The average price of a vacant lot up there will be over $1 million. Don't live, and they control. So think about Feinstein, Boxer, Pelosi, Harris, Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom. All of these people came out of the Bay Area. The Bay Area controls California. And when you talk about the fifth largest economy, you know, agriculture was part of that. But because of the policies they pursue in this state, we have now returned 1 million acres in the San Joaquin Valley back to desert. But the Bay Area is where all of this tech giants are located. So these people have more money than they know what to do with. They shield themselves from at least some of the consequences that the rest of the state suffers from. And they always have low unemployment. They always have wages and salaries that are orders of magnitude higher than anybody else. And they just do what they want as they want. And the rest of the state doesn't resemble them and really can't even relate to them. But they are the 900-pound gorilla politically and economically in the state. And like I said, you know, they control the top tiers of state government and the top tiers of our federal representation in Congress and the Senate.
What a terrific answer to my question. You really have done a tremendous job painting the picture, but it remains very gloomy and very sad. I kind of like to look at California as a premier negative model for all the other states.
It is.
And
it
is. That ultimately, it's a good thing for the other 49 to see what a disaster California is.
Well, you know, you want to see a perfect microcosm of that or portrait of that, Kamala Harris. As we see in California, she slept her way to the middle. She was Willie Brown's arm candy. While he was still married, she was his arm candy. Huh. He got her appointments. Willie Brown used to run the state of California when he was the state assembly speaker. And then he moved on to San Francisco. And I think he was the mayor up there. And he put her on a path towards political ascendancy, which should have ended with the Democratic Party primaries when she was polling at 2%. So somehow they took this 2% loser who has never had any significant accomplishments in her life except for intersectionality, and they make her vice president of the United States when she was polling at 2%. And look at her approval ratings right now. She comports herself as a laughing hyena anytime somebody poses a serious question to her. She is a big fat zero, and yet she was our U.S. senator, and she's now the vice president. That is an example of the content and worth of the California Progressive Party.
Andy, I'm probably the most optimistic scientist, political activist in the country. I'm able always to mine everything that's going on for some gem of positiveness. And I consider her to be a goldmine of positiveness for the country, because everything you say, she is a laughing hyena that has done nothing, barely participated in the government after becoming vice president. People well know her history that you have described. And I believe that literally every single morning, rank and file people in the United States wake up and they look at this nutty president, this nutty vice president. They realize the election was a huge mistake, whether it was legal or illegal. Thousands of people are looking at this and saying, hey, we got an election coming up in November of 2022. We're not going to make the same mistake again. And people really don't understand how our government works. They think Biden administration is going to destroy the country, putting all these crazy regulations out there. But the House of Representatives controls the budget of the United States, and no money gets spent or implemented unless it has that approval. And the chances of the Democratic Party retaining its majority of 5 votes in the House of Representatives in the 2022 election is slim to nil. And therefore, every day, Harris and Biden do dumb, stupid things. And, you know, they're the masters of dumb and stupid. I think we're taking the country back. I couldn't be more excited.
Well, there's a lot of people believe that same formula, that the best thing you can do is experience the best the other side have and watch it fail miserably. But, you know, there's a lot of damage being done. And of course, it doesn't help California is our problem out here because, you know, Gavin Newsom just, you know, survived the recall. One of the problems out here is Republicans and other conservative independents have lost hope and they don't vote. If they showed up and voted, we still would have a fighting chance because there are a lot of independent and or conservative minded independents that don't vote lockstep with the Democratic Party. And there's still a number of Republicans out here, but again, they don't always show up at the polls. And that is a huge problem. They are discouraged and many of them are hopeless.
Let me ask you a question that Tom and I are very expert on, and that's the energy situation. I've been reading lately, of course, we know that California's shutting down all their coal resources. We know they're, I think, down to their last nuclear power plant that they plan to take down in a few years. They are restricting the drilling of oil and natural gas. And I read recently that Governor Newsom wants to import oil from foreign countries into California. None of that makes any sense to me at all. Can you make some sense of this governor's energy policy?
Absolutely not. There's some pretty famous graphs that show that as California and Alaska oil production decreased, we made up pretty much every single barrel of oil from the Middle East. And so we've not accomplished anything. It's all virtue signaling. So, you know, right now, Gavin Newsom and 20 staffers and legislators flew off to Scotland. You know, they didn't have a Zoom meeting to save the planet. They flew off to Scotland with God knows how many other people taking private jets. It's all virtue signaling. You know, I write op-eds for the Santa Barbara News Press. And this week, you know, I talked about this phenomena. So they want to ban gas-powered cars, diesel engines, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, weed whackers, but not polyester clothing, not asphalt that you use to pave the roads, not concrete that you use for foundations. What they do is they nibble around the edges, put things off a few years, get people used to the idea, and we're the frog in the boiling water. And people just lose their rights a little bit of a time by this executive directive or this executive order or this California Air Resources Board ruling or what have you. And it's always just a little bit at a time, virtue signaling, because again, you know, over 60% of the world's clothing is polyester and it's an oil byproduct. They want to ban plastic utensils in restaurants. What about plastic IV tubes in hospitals? Yeah. Or the other things that are made of plastic in hospitals? What about the plastic in green cars? You know, they nibble around the edges to pretend they're doing something. But the one thing I always call them out on is if Greta Thunberg is right and we only have 8 years to save the planet from irreversible, catastrophic climate change, where is their desperation? Where is their 8-year plan or their 4-year plan or their 2-year plan to nibble away at our reliance on fossil fuels and the 6,000 byproducts? There is no plan. There is no emergency. There is no impending catastrophe. One of the things that I've talked with different people on the show is, for instance, they predicted that the Maldives were going to be underwater, but they're building multi-million dollar resorts there as we speak. Somebody that financed that thing, insured that thing, and is planning on operating those resorts, they don't seem to be drinking the Kool-Aid. Barack Obama, if we're having sea level rise, why would he buy a $14 million mansion on Martha's Vineyard? They're not living according to their rhetoric. They're not living as if we're in desperate times. And for instance, why would they not have forced China to pony up first in reducing their coal, their reliance on coal production and emissions and everything else? And in, you know, India and Pakistan and Africa, these places, they have larger populations. These people want to escape the poverty that our industrial revolution allowed us to escape. There's no mandate. There's no pressure. There's no boycott. They're boycott Israel for BDS, but not China for coal.
Yeah,
you know, crazy. And Andy, you, our listeners are really getting a treat here, because your ability to articulate so precisely where this state is, the insanity of it all, and again, clear-thinking Americans, of which there are many, are seeing California and realizing the bad turn the nation made, and you got California there every single day as a symbol of everything that has and is going wrong with America, but is not nearly as bad in the other 49 states, and will not get as bad. But it is absolute insanity that these people have no sense of the reality. Every single person, Andy, listening to this show right now, to bear on what you said about oil byproducts, if they look around the room that they are standing or sitting in, clearly 80% of the things in that room would not exist without petroleum byproducts. And your mention of the medicine is gigantic. I mean, we couldn't have the medical treatment in this country without all the oil and petroleum byproducts. And I want to insert here an idea that you might, you know, use on your show. I no longer talk about fossil fuels without giving them a new name to frame, that was developed by a good friend, Mark Mathis at Clear Energy Alliance. And I use the word tech maps. Tech maps is what we're talking about. Oil and gas and coal. T is for transportation. E is for electricity. C is for cooking. H is for heating and cooling. M is for most everything we manufacture. We don't have agriculture without it. Most of the products we produce require byproducts. And the S in tech maps is for sanitation. Without the oil and gas reserves that have given our standard of living, we're back in the year 1850, which is not a standard of living most people would want.
Pre-industrial revolution, which means we were the equivalent of today's third world hellholes. I always look at the selfishness. What we really are seeing is an environmental movement that's narcissistic and nihilistic. So they really, truly do not want to give up their standard of living, but they would by ignoring and being oblivious to the plight of people, continue to relegate these other people to living on a couple of bucks a day, short lifespans, no food security, no protection from the elements, all the things we take for granted. You know, I think the best example I just saw is the Biden administration is sending millions of dollars of bicycles to some places in Africa. They need electricity. They need clean water. They need sanitary sewage. He's sending them a bicycle.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you guys would get a laugh. Another example of virtue signaling, it doesn't make any sense, is I went to the Copenhagen Climate Conference in 2009, and it was the biggest conference with the most number of world leaders in the history of Earth. And this was supposedly to reduce energy consumption to save the planet from climate change. And yet, as I say, 30,000 people attended the conference. The airport was jammed with jets, many of them private jets from rich people flying in. So talk about virtue signaling. I mean, it's totally insane.
It really
is. We're about at the end of our first section here, and I'd like to start off in the second half and at least inform our listeners and ultimately people in California of the folly that your roads are going to be peopled with electric cars. California already has, I think, half of all the electric vehicles on the road in the United States, and they keep passing legislation that says, you know, they'll all be electric at 2035 and all those things. I think our listeners, and you can deliver it to your listeners in California, it cannot ever happen. And I'll jump on the electric car in California when we come back for our second section.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
This is Dr. Peter McCullough. Do you know there's no other condition that I'm aware of where vitamins and supplements make such a big difference than COVID-19? We have an abundance of data that we need to be replete with a variety of micronutrients, and that includes vitamins, minerals, and other substances our bodies need. I rely on Healthy Cell Superboost. That's Immune Superboost. It's a gel pack that can be taken every day. I like to do it before I exercise and before I go out. It's a wonderful supplement. It gives me the immune superboost that I need. Go to HealthyCell.com, use the promotional code OUTLOUD, and get a discount on your first order. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Well, Andy, one of the topics that I'm expert in and interested in is electricity in California. And the disconnect between understanding how you get electricity and not wanting coal and natural gas and nuclear power is absolutely incredible. The easiest thing to start out with is the fact that California now has half the electric vehicles on the road in America, but they're very small. I mean, right now, electric vehicles make up 2% of the cars on our road. And I've been writing now for a very long time. It is physically impossible that electric vehicles will ever get to 10% of the our vehicles, because we don't have the capacity to create the electric power and feed it into vehicles. People get tired waiting to gas their car up with gasoline if they have to wait three cars. If they had to recharge them at stations, they're waiting hours. The problem with going any distance is always there. It's a physical impossibility. When I say this, it's not my opinion. In fact, Tom and I are going to do an entire show on electric vehicles, just discussing the long list. But in California, they want to electrify everything without understanding where the electricity comes from. So speak to that, Andy.
All right. Well, this goes back a long time, and it's California's hubris. California, as you know, has nearly 40 million people. That's 10% of the United States population as a whole. And secondly, we have, being the fifth largest economy in the world, we have an inordinate amount of wealth in this state. Well, they've always been the tail wagging the dog. And the way they've done that is they mandate technology that doesn't exist. They've always done it to drive the technology, thinking manufacturers will not want to lose 10% of their market in the United States. And also, if they have to make a car for the 10%, and we're car-centric here more than any other state, they have to make a certain car with certain equipment in this state, they might as well do it for the rest of the nation. This is how they figure. This is how they've tried to drive technology innovation and mandates. And so, and they also pretend they're the global leader. Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown, they consider us a nation state, not a state of the United States, but a nation state, which is why Jerry Brown, you know, entered into a treaty / contract / agreement with Canada. And so they don't think of themselves as other people view us as just one of 50. They look at us and view ourselves as a literally prima donnas economically, environmentally, and the rest. So San Onofre, we had two nuclear reactors. San Onofre shut down. Some people think it could have, should have been repaired, but nonetheless, it's history. Now Diablo Nuclear Power Plant, which is in our backyard, is slated to shut down. And it's not because of the relicensing. California, this is again, California passed two little rules. One of them is they wanted Diablo and any other coastal plant of any kind to cool the water back down to ambient temperatures before they released it back to the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And to do that, that would have cost billions of dollars to build tanks that big, because these things are, you know, they don't contaminate the water. The water is just used to help cool the nuclear reactor. And then the other thing, California has an energy portfolio requirement. So they're trying to mandate that these portfolios become 100% renewable. But nuclear and hydro don't count as renewable. So as that mandate approaches, nuclear and hydro actually become a liability to them, because it produces so much power and it doesn't count toward the renewable portfolio that they will actually suffer a penalty for having that in their portfolio. Then there's another thing in California called community choice aggregation. And so even though the state says we're going to be 100% renewable by 2030 something or what have you, some of these locales said, well, that's not fast enough. So the state allowed them to create energy consortiums among cities and counties where they get to order, as on a menu, the energy that they want the utilities to deliver. So we used to have vertical integration. They've disintegrated the vertical integration. In these cities, in these counties, in these consortiums, they're not ordering anything that's not renewable. So then what you have is Diablo Nuclear Power Plant and the hydroelectrics become white elephants. They can't sell the power. And secondly, they can't continue to use the power of Diablo without spending billions of dollars for these tanks to cool back down the water. So that's one part of it. Now, here's the second part. California is subject to wildfires. Like the last big one was 1 million acres. Okay. California every single year is on fire. We have 140 million dead trees in the state of California. They blame the utility companies because the power lines run through these unmanaged wildlands. They blame the utility companies for the fires. So the utility companies are facing bankruptcy. So to survive, they just say, well, on any windy day, we're shutting off your power. So we've lost Diablo during the droughts. We lose the hydroelectric, plus they're even removing some dams. And then they demand that they basically have forced these guys into a corner to shut down the power. Then they have people not buying their power. Then you have the state on fire. And so we have rolling blackouts and power safety shutoffs. So the whole thing's a mess. All the while they're mandating more and more things go electric. This is the same asylum of California.
It is. I see that. But at what point is this going to impact the rank and file citizen of California? We know that the Silicon Valley millionaire, billionaire people are unaffected of it. But it would seem to me within the next decade, there's almost a need for a revolution within the state among just regular folks that make a modest income and see that everything their government is doing is reducing their opportunity to have a good quality of life. So where do you think it's going?
What California is doing is the rich can afford to pay whatever it takes and the poor get subsidized. It's the middle class that's either getting squeezed and or is leaving. We lost by losing for the first time in California's history. We lost a congressional seat this year. That represents a loss of upwards of 1 million people left in the last 10 years since last redistricting. I can tell you, I know people that are fifth, sixth, and seventh generation Californians have left the state. And so what you have is you have a third world situation where you have the very rich and the very poor. And the very poor, like I said, get subsidized and they're living in an underground economy, or they're living two or three families to a house, literally two or three families to a house to get by. And there's crime is rampant. And the homeless problem is exploding. There's an area of LA that supposedly has upwards of 40,000 homeless people living in one area in Los Angeles. So we are degrading. People are even the wealthy people are moving out of San Francisco because it's not hospitable. So a few years ago, Victor Davis Hanson came and spoke to our organization, and he talked about, if you want to see what Europe looked like after World War II, go visit Detroit. Well, I had the opportunity as a radio talk show host back there that are friends of mine hosted me for a day-long tour of Detroit. And it looked like it was bombed out, just like Victor Davis Hanson said. And they showed me some of the areas where people had hired private security guards to patrol their neighborhoods because the cops just weren't there, weren't responding, and or there wasn't enough of them. Well, later on today on my show, I'm talking to Katie Grimes of the California Globe. There are waterfront districts in San Francisco, which are as tony as can be, are now hiring private security. So I'm going to start calling San Francisco Detroit by the sea. Now, Katie lives in Sacramento, downtown Sacramento, ritzy, old neighborhood. They hired private security 5 years ago because California changed the laws on who could be prosecuted for what level of crime versus just being given a ticket. It's so bad that Walgreens and CVS and other ones are being ripped off so bad, they are closing every single drugstore in the Bay Area in their chain. One of them has closed 22 drugstores because organized theft rings have robbed them to the point of bankruptcy.
Wow. And I guess the police in some places like San Diego may very well be walking off the job rather than take the vaccine. So it could actually end up with less police.
Yes, it will.
Describe California for me in the year 2030.
Death by a thousand cuts. There will be a cumulative impact. Starting within a couple of years, we're going to have dire energy shortages because they put all of their eggs in the marble of renewables. So right now, we, as you know, you guys are the experts on this, not me. Solar produces in California, which is sunny most of the time, between 10 and 2. Well, we produce so much solar energy, we have to pay Arizona to take it. We don't sell it to Arizona. We pay them to take it. And so what's going to happen is they're going to continue to put all their eggs in this basket. We're going to have more rolling blackouts, more power safety shutoffs. The electricity prices right now are already 50% higher than the rest of the country. I assume they're going to go up to at least 100, if not 100% more, if not more than that. Our gas prices out here, everybody in the, you know, East Coast and Midwest is complaining about $3 and something cents for gas. Premium out here is $5 a gallon. So people right now are already starting to skip meals. People are not going to be able to afford to commute to work because in California, we have these notoriously long commutes. I think you're going to see more people leaving and or households combining families into one household. Maybe there'll be more carpooling. I don't know. But the bottom line here is it's becoming unaffordable, unlivable, and inhospitable. Especially to businesses, to families and the like. Gavin Newsom, for instance, on COVID vaccines is going to mandate all K through 12 get the vaccine or they can't go to a public school. Whether or not there will be a revolution, I don't know, because these guys hold all of the cards. And again, most people are too clueless. Our media out here is worse than the national media. And so most people have no clue as to why things are. And I'll tell you exactly what they will do. They'll start blaming the oil companies for the $5 to $6 a gallon gas, and the people will fall for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have described a dystopian society, yes, 10 years down the road, like 1984. And I think you're very accurate. And again, I pull out my optimism. And actually, for the other 49 states, it's wonderful to be able to watch California in the coming years and not make the same mistakes. Tom is up in Ottawa, Canada, and Canada is way worse than the United States in most of these areas as well. And I also see Canada as a negative model for the rest of the world. So I hate to be crass about it.
Let me tell you one big problem. Some of the people leaving the state are not the conservatives. Some of them are the liberals that either realize, yeah, this state's unlivable, it's unaffordable, and or they're government workers or the Silicon Valley guys that cashed out and have moved out. Well, the problem is for instance, if Tesla and a dozen other big, huge high-tech companies go to Texas, they could flip Texas. Arizona used to be as conservative as we are. They're a wobbler. Nevada used to be ultra conservative. It's a wobbler. And so Idaho, Tennessee, there's a bunch of these Californians. They actually have signs. Don't Californicate us. And so that is a problem in terms of the liberalization, because they're going to the states that are cheap. And the reason they're cheap is because their taxes are low. Their regulations are less ominous. But then they go back there and then they start demanding and voting for the things they missed back in California.
Mm-hmm. You know, Andy and Jay, it strikes me that perhaps one of the biggest problems is that most people don't know what you're saying because the media don't tell them.
It doesn't. It's a huge problem.
Are there very many shows like yours in California that are telling them the truth?
They're independent. There's a couple of them in the metro areas, but most of them, as you well know, radio is gone the same way as media, i.e. it's consolidated unto the conglomerates. And mm-hmm. So a lot of stations, there's not that many independent stations with local shows any longer. So the national shows, most radio national level is conservative, but they do not hone in on the local issues and impacts of, you know, government gone mad. And so there are pockets, but, you know, like, for instance, when the California, when the Tea Party began, I hosted a couple of Tea Party rallies and I spoke at a large one in Sacramento. The Tea Party never penetrated Los Angeles or San Francisco. Mm-hmm. It was, and see, most of the California counties are fairly conservative, but the population is concentrated in LA and San Francisco. And it's hard to get any visibility in those communities because, you know, the newspapers and the major networks there control the narrative. And it's just very, very hard. I mentioned Katie Grimes of the California Globe. She's doing a phenomenal job. Breitbart does a good job of covering us. But you really have to look for the news to find out what's happening from it with, you know, combined with critical analysis and the truth from what you get in our newspapers and news media.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons Jay and I are so thrilled with Tom McDonald, the rap star. Have you heard any of his stuff, Andy?
No.
Okay. Well, he's he's telling tens of millions of young people many of the things that we're saying on this show.
Good.
He attacks wokeism. I'll send you one of his videos after. Well,
thank you.
And you may not like rap. In fact, I'm not a fan of rap myself. But he's very different. He can actually be understood, which is unlike most rappers. And he started to produce videos with no swearing. So in one of them called Brainwashed, which applies very much to what we're talking about, he had 9 million views in 6 days.
Wow.
And 59,000 comments. You know,
one, so good for him. I'm hoping Dave Chappelle and some of these other guys, Joe Rogan and some of these other people are going to have an impact.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll send it to you right after, because honestly, Tom McDonald, he looks like a traditional rapper with the tattoos on his face and the body motions and everything. But you listen to his messages. Whoa, he's telling the truth.
Good for him. We need more of that.
To address your comment about the California fortification of Texas and Tennessee and other states, we are aware of what you just said, that it's liberals leaving California and moving to other states, taking their politics with them, which is a concern. And we're going to see some of that in the midterm election 2022 in a number of states. I don't think there is enough of it. But Tom and I did a show, Tom's brilliance last week, in which Tom pulled out 19 different government programs that Biden was implementing. And we took them on one at a time to show how ridiculous they were, how they really can't happen. The money won't be spent. The new rules will not be put in. And we ended up with Tom McDonald singing this fabulous song, pointing out that the young people are recognizing the fact that they don't want critical race theory. They're not enjoying wokeism. They're not enjoying having less and less freedom. So amidst, you know, the misery of California that you have so beautifully described, we think the fires are beginning to burn around the country, where people are recognizing, and sometimes you got to dig the hole as deep as it can be before you can climb out. Now, clearly, California's gone way beyond that long ago, but I think most states aren't there. And while we do have to worry about bringing California's liberalism to other states, I'm just very confident that we'll be able to fight it off in the coming years.
I certainly hope so. And that's why I'm still on radio and in newspapers and speaking into government meetings, because it's all we can do and it's something we must do.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, we talked on your show earlier that you just barely lost in a liberal district, a seat in the House.
I love your kindness, but it wasn't as close as I would have liked.
All right. So. But will you consider running again?
I've considered it. I kind of would like to see some sign of some sort of sea change. You know, like for instance, here locally, Santa Barbara, people a year and a half ago were pushing back against critical race theory, never got the momentum. There's a school board recall in a little town here, doesn't have the momentum. So far, it seems like people are dumb, fat, and happy with the way things are. And literally emphasis on the word dumb. It's one of those things. There's always a disconnect. Congress has always had about a, 15 to 17% approval rating, but most incumbents get reelected. There's always this disconnect. And so here, this media here, they never, ever hold our elected officials accountable for anything. They never ask them about controversial votes or policies or anything like that. It's more photo ops. Oh, look at, he's feeding the poor. He's helping seniors. He's visiting a school. That's the only thing they see of our congressman.
Mm-hmm. You know, it strikes me, Andy, that one of the problems that we're seeing is that liberals, especially the extreme liberals, are prepared to fight to the death for what they stand up for. Well, conservatives, generally speaking, and I'm not talking about you or Jay, but generally speaking, we tend to sort of take a back seat, you know, not really. Yeah, we don't really stand up. We don't go out and protest in the streets. We don't, you know, fight for what we believe in to the extent that they do. And surely that's one of the problems.
It absolutely is. And I've been living that for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to have three programs that you'd implement for your state and your county to right the ship, what would you do?
Well, this is relative or related to the electoral principle of the Electoral College. So you have the popular vote, which is, California, New York, and a few other states dominate that. But then you have the Electoral College, which is based on the same principle as the U.S. Senate, where every state is equal, right? California, and I don't know how long ago this happened. It was a long, long time ago. We don't have that principle in play in our state government. So our state assembly is elected by popular vote, but so is our state senate. If each county in the state of California got equal representation in our state senate, our state senate would have blocked 99% of everything we've been talking about, because most of the counties are conservative, and there's many more counties that are conservative, but the populations in the liberal communities. The second thing I would do is I would get rid of the California Environmental Quality Act, which has put the kibosh on reasonable growth and industrial and manufacturing development. California has the same number of dams and reservoirs in it that we had in the 70s, which was 20 million people ago.
Mm.
And they use CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, to kill projects unless they want those projects. So if a football stadium comes along, then by golly, they exempt it from CEQA. The third thing is I would split California. California is too big to be governed. The Bay Area and LA dominate. Los Angeles by itself is larger than most states. It's got 10 million people in it. And the Bay Area is pretty darn big too. They're too big to govern. And we need to split this state in some way, shape, or form. There is some movements. There's been different movements to do that. But again, they don't have the power or the money thus far to pull it off. But we're too big to govern. We do not have representation here, especially the rural or the semi-rural counties, because we just get outvoted, outmaneuvered, and out everything by the two dominant Bay Area LA County regions.
Now, my understanding is that there have been bills in the California legislature to split the state into Northern California and Southern state. Is that true, or just
there's been ballot initiatives to split it, and they keep coming up every year. Some of them have been stupid. They tried to, cut it up too many different ways. Now there's a movement, they call it New California. They're trying to use a constitutional process to divide the state. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere or not. You know, the bottom line is Los Angeles should not want to be in the same state as San Francisco, because Los Angeles got a lot of urban minority poor, whereas San Francisco's lily white and rich. But for some reason, those legislators in LA vote with the Bay Area all the time. The Democratic Party out here votes in lockstep all the time, even though many of the people they represent are poor. They're voting at the whim of the filthy rich in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. But if we enabled your three platforms, do you think we'd have a good future for health?
Absolutely. It would change everything. It would change absolutely everything. Because again, there would be balance in our government. Again, when I talk to you about being a one-party state, we're a banana, as one guy says, we're a banana republic without the bananas. And they, you have no idea the level of corruption and incompetence. So for instance, California sent out $30 billion worth of unemployment checks to people that didn't qualify for the to receive them, including people on death row, got unemployment checks from the state of California. Mexican drug cartels got unemployment checks. They are inept. $30 billion of unemployment checks went out to people that didn't deserve them. Water shortages, we're always on fire. We've got homeless, more homeless in the state of California than the rest of the United States combined. All of this stuff, you hope that people will eventually get fed up. You hope. But again, thus far, it hasn't happened. Maybe it will. I hope it will. I do not know how bad it's got to get before they wake up and hold these people accountable and realize we need a better model of governance for the fifth largest economy and the largest state in our union.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things in 1984, where they're able to have a circumstance where the people didn't really know what was going on, was the huge control of the media. So, I mean, yes. I'm back to that issue that as long as people don't know the causes of the problem, then geez, it's hard to solve.
Well, Tom, let's go back to one of the first points. The media that controls everything is high tech. That high tech is headquartered in the Silicon Valley in mm-hmm. the Bay Area. They're not gonna rat themselves out.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God for your show, the Andy Caldwell Show, which we'll include a link to, of course, under the podcast when it goes online on Monday. What's the future for your show?
I don't know. I've been on the air for almost 30 years. It wasn't daily at the beginning. It was only once a week. But I'm no spring chicken, so I don't know. I just don't know. You know, I don't know when I'm going to retire. I love doing the show. I've got to meet people like you, both of you on that show. I made really good friends. I get an education every day doing it. So I really do enjoy it.
You know the saying that all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And you're certainly one of those good people, and you should be able to maintain a role in some form or other for a very, very long time. That's what it takes. And it's why I'm optimistic. I find people like yourself all over the country willing to fight, willing to battle. I'm seeing better and better people throwing their name out to run for the House of Representatives all over the country.
Yes.
So for the next year.
Yeah. I tell people that all the time. In fact, I did a speech last week. Don't be discouraged. There's hope on the other side of our state boundary.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely.
Well, that was wonderful, Andy. That was a fun and interesting and a little bit depressing at times, but realistic show. We got to face reality if we're going to fix circumstances. So this is Tom Harris and Jay Lair signing out from the other side of the story with our guest, Andy Caldwell.